Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Peace be with you. Good morning and greetings to everyone on this Feast of Christ the King. A special greeting to those who are watching on television or listening through streaming or radio. We welcome all of you to this great celebration at the end of our liturgical year. Let us now acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe, grant, we pray, that the whole creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. As a shepherd tends his flock, when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place and where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord God. The lost I will seek out. The strayed I will bring back. The injured I will bind up. The sick I will heal. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy, shepherding them rightly. As for you, my sheep, says the Lord God, I will judge between one sheep and another, between rams and goats. The word of the Lord.
Shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The goodness and kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life. but each one in proper order. Christ, the first fruits. Then, at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. When he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. When everything is subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. The word of the Lord.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as shepherds separate the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you by the formation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for me of the least brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed, into eternal fire and prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me. Then they will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or ill, or in prison, and not minister to your needs? He will then answer them, Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me. And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord.
Once again, good morning to everyone and greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. In a special way, I do want to welcome into the cathedral those who are at home, ill, or in hospitals, and also to my brothers in Beeville at the state institutions and who are incarcerated. I look forward to seeing you in a few weeks as I visit the prisons through before Christmas. Today is the Feast of Christ the King. It also is the day in which the Church sums up, concludes the liturgical year, what we call the liturgical year. In 1925, Pope Pius XI initiated this Feast of Christ the King to remind all of us in the Church, in the world, that all the universe belongs to Jesus Christ. In the midst of the rise of secularism in those days, even more so today, the time of world wars ending and beginning, when totalitarian states of communism, Nazis, and others were rising, the world was turning to materialism, even more so today. The Pope wanted to remind us of the truth of all life, that it belongs to God. All of these isms, secularism, wars, totalitarian states, materialism, have one objective, and that is to isolate God from his people, to make it seem that God does not exist, that world powers, human powers, are what we need to bring about the utopia. But our feast today proclaims to us to all the world that Jesus Christ is King. We sum up the liturgical year as we follow Christ our King every year through the liturgy. Next week we will begin Advent, which is a period of time of awaiting the King. We will receive the gift of his presence at Christmas from our eternal Father. We will follow his public ministry again as we have this year through his baptism, the wedding feast of Cana, the calling of disciples. We will celebrate the sending of the Holy Spirit after Christ's paschal mystery, when Christ suffered the cross on Good Friday, rose on Easter Sunday, and ascended to the Father, not to leave us orphans, but on Pentecost to send the Holy Spirit and to give life to each one of us. And throughout the year, we are taught the truth through parables, through sermons on the Mount, through the healing action of God's love, through forgiveness, humility, meekness. And in all of that, throughout the year, we celebrate the sacraments. As we listen to God's word, perhaps this past year you have celebrated a baptism, have been at a confirmation in this cathedral. Last year we confirmed 1,500 young people in the Holy Spirit. You may have received the Eucharist or celebrated a first Eucharist, marriage, anointing, the presence of Christ, the King, in all the sacraments. The question for us today, I believe, is, have you met the King? Have you personally met the King? Do you know the King? Has the King been present to you, or have you been present to the King at any point during this year? These are questions that you and I, who say, I believe in Jesus Christ, it's not a matter of just believing in a historical person. It's about encountering the living, risen Christ, because he is not dead, he is alive. He did not leave us just an antiquated group of teachings to adhere to, but he left himself to be met, encountered, and embraced. Our three readings today give us three characteristics, I believe, of the King that we are called to meet. The first is in the book of Ezekiel, where Ezekiel, speaking to those who have been put into exile through the Babylonian exile, promised that another will come to lead and to guide, but he will be a shepherd. He will not be a powerful ruler, a king of a people, but he will be a gentle shepherd who cares for his people, who loves his people. This is in prophecy of the coming of Christ. Ezekiel says he will look after and tend his sheep. He will rescue us from the cloudy and dark moments of life. He will give us rest, and we will turn and rely on him. He will bring us back through forgiveness and heal us of our sins when we have turned away from him. These are moments when you and I in our life can encounter the King. Mysteriously, in the darkest moments of life, in the most cloudy days, we can find Jesus Christ by letting him be King and not the situation that we are facing. He can bring us back when we have left him through the sacrament of reconciliation, when we turn to him for healing. But there is another mysterious plan of God in which we can meet Christ the King. At the end of that passage from Ezekiel, it speaks of the King destroying, bringing in destruction. And what does this King, this good shepherd, want to destroy? Sisters and brothers, he wants to destroy human pride. He wants to destroy human arrogance. And if you look at our world and the situations that we live in, is it not the result of human pride and arrogance? That somehow I can have control over others. This is what our world faces, and even we ourselves. It's a journey of life where the Lord wants to destroy our pride. How does He do that? He humbles us. He humiliates us. And so, if you want to ask yourself, have you met the King this year? You might ask yourself, myself, did I turn to Him in the cloudy, dark moments of this year? Did I come to Him in the sacrament of reconciliation to be healed of my sins? Do I turn to Him when I find no other way to find rest in Him? And, as I just spoke of, in those moments when my pride has taken over, did I allow Him to humble me? It is only the humble heart, it is only the humble soul that can truly encounter the humble Christ the King. He wants us to give our life to Him so that we can know Him and love Him. In the second reading, St. Paul reminds us that all things belong to Christ. All things are subject to Him. All authority and power belongs to Him. And St. Paul reminds us, for He must reign until He has put all of His enemies under His feet. And the last enemy is death, which He has already conquered. Our faith is founded on the resurrection. Our faith is founded, is based on the power of Jesus' conquering death, the greatest enemy. St. Paul says, if He has not been risen from the dead, raised from the dead, then my preaching is useless and your faith is in vain. It rests in the power of Jesus to conquer death. And that's what we profess as we pray our creed, as we believe and celebrate the sacraments. But we must keep that hope alive in us. As we look at our world today, sisters and brothers, with almost daily terrorist attacks, mass killings that have happened just down the road 3 weeks ago in Sutherland Springs, the killing of innocent lives, even in the wombs of their mothers, persecution of people who are trying to practice their faith in fidelity, incessant wars, exploitation of the poor, and the list goes on. It seems like Christ has lost. It seems like the world is going to evil, that evil has won the day. This is not our faith. This is not our faith. All things serve God's purpose. And that is why it is so mysterious how we, you and I, all Christians, all people of good faith, are called to live in this world, not to succumb, not to adapt the evils into our own life, but to be the light in the darkness. And that's what He taught us, to be light in the darkness. And how do we do that? By never losing hope. You and I are men and women, young people, children of hope. We know He has conquered death. We know He has risen from the dead. And we know He can take care of our day as well. He will humble and bring down the proud. He will raise up the lowly. That we believe. That we know. And so, as we celebrate the feast of Christ the King, let us be men and women of hope. Let us renew ourselves in the hope that what we see today in the darkness of our world does not have the last word, will not have the last word. The evils of our times will not prevail. That is our faith. And I ask you to join me today in a profession that that is our faith. And finally, in the beautiful gospel of the Last Judgment today, Jesus is King. But in that 25th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, he presents himself as a king in the most strangest of ways, because he wants us to encounter him. He did not say that those who are hungry will remind you of me. He said that I am in the hungry. Our King is in the hungry. Our King is in those who are ill. Our King is present in the immigrant stranger that we sometimes push aside in the political arena. Our King needs clothes. Our King needs to be fed. Our King needs to be visited when he is ill. Our King is present in those who are incarcerated in prison. And he tells us who have the hope that evil does not have the last word. He says, when you visit me, when you visit the ill, you visit me. I'm there. It's almost as if a sacramental presence is there. When you visit or speak to that employee who has just lost their spouse, I'm there. When you take care of your family in such beautiful ways, you're taking care of him, the King. So many ways, every day, we meet the King if we allow the eyes of faith to see what no one else sees. This is our secret in life. This is how you and I can keep the flame of faith and hope alive, sisters and brothers, to notice and find Christ in the poor, in the homeless, in the sick, in the suffering, in those who are hurting, in those who have gone wrong in their life. It's not just a moral presence. Jesus said, whatever you do to the least, you have done to me. To me. That's our conversion. That's the conversion that you and I need. The Lord is our shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing that can discourage me. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing that can make me lose faith. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing that can allow me to lose hope in the coming of the kingdom of God. This is our faith. I ask you to join me today as we celebrate this feast of Christ the King. Amidst the evils of the world, amidst the evils that have crept into our own lives, in the discouragements that we find in our life, let us, in front of those, say, Christ is King. He is my shepherd. I shall want for nothing but him. And now, sisters and brothers, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Shepherd. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. Our loving God pastures us, he gives us rest, he seeks us when we are lost and binds up our wounds. Let us now approach our loving shepherd with these prayers.
For the Holy Church of God, shepherded by Pope Francis and all the bishops in the name of Good Shepherd, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That leaders of nations look first to caring for the needs of the most vulnerable of their people, treating them with mercy, compassion, and kindness. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the hungry, thirsty, and strangers in our midst, and for those who cannot afford to clothe themselves or pay for their proper medications, for those who find themselves in prison, may they be comforted and healed by our merciful actions. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are seeking the Lord, may they find the face of the one true King reflected in the actions of our community of faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the safety of all members of our armed forces and their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Jose M. Garcia, Robert E. and Hannah G. Hagelin, and Robert E. Hagelin, Jr., and Yolanda S. Robinson, and for all these prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
God, you are the giver of all gifts, human and divine. Hear the prayers that we offer you today and help us to find your Son, King, living in our lives and in the lives of all those whom we meet this week through Christ our Lord. Amen.
join in singing in your hymnal, number 766, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice of your hands. Praise the Lord. Our good Lord.
As we offer you, O Lord, the sacrifice by which the human race is reconciled to you, we humbly pray that your Son himself may bestow on all nations the gifts of unity and peace. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you anointed your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, with the oil of gladness, as eternal priest and king of all creation, so that by offering himself on the altar of the cross as a spotless sacrifice to bring us peace, he might accomplish the mysteries of the human redemption, and making all created things subject to his rule, he might present the immensity of your majesty, an eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice and love. And so with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim. Created rightly gives you praise, for through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of his saving passion, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ.
May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for your unfailing help.
May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you.
Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.